Prologue, edited by Etherdrone. Spoiler, click to hide. The tree's leaves shake to the wind carried by the book's perfect sunny day. Soft grass, enriched by its dew, shines like gems in the light that was being cast down upon it by the eternal globe of life that hanged over the world of Avalis, making the calm plains of Qin, with its scattered, spread out rocks and boulders of varying shapes and sizes, a place rich enough for farming. The expanses of the plains reached as far as the eyes could see far out in the horizon, giving the expanses a glory and reach all its own. Laying down against one of the larger boulders with her eyes set on the clouds above her as if she was in a daze, was a young girl. Hypnotized by the beautiful swirl of the few clouds that made their presence in the skies, the scattered rays of the sun that pierced through them creating a pattern of lights in the sky that only few people realize it's there. However, even with the spectacular beauty of nature itself in full display, nothing can compare to the beauty of the Avalician night sky, with the spiraling blue spark of energy that adorned it like a swirling carpet of stars, so bright and beautiful that one can't help but be amazed at the catastrophic events 2 years ago that led to its creation. 2 years ago, thought the lonesome girl, her eyes lost in the clouds above her almost as if she could see through them. I wonder how Lilac and Carol are doing. Taking a deep breath, she quietly picked an apple up from her backpack. I hope they're not worried or angry for me being gone for so long. The girl's mind seemed to wander, reflecting on the events from 2 years ago that changed her life forever. A mixed feeling of happiness and depression filled inside her like a creeping addiction. She not only remembered the fun she had with her new friends, but the horrors that followed still ringed fresh in her mind. Shade. Ever since the accident, that word has haunted her thoughts and nightmares. If she closed her eyes and focused hard enough, she could still feel the blade at her neck, the screams of her friends, begging her to come back to them. The creeping voice of their enemy reaching out inside her mind, telling her, ordering her, to kill and butcher the friends she had made. Nightmares were all she had these days. Trying to shake off the thought with a physical motion from her head, the girl sprung up, grabbing her backpack on her way to being vertical and begun making her way to the nearest village, stuffing her apple in her mouth as if it somehow prevented it from making her think too hard. Whatever it takes to make her feel better, she'd justify. Slowly, but surely, she made her way through the beautiful Avalician plains. As the girl made her way to the village in question, a small family took notice, driving by the road on some kind of vehicle. "Hey, little girl. You need a lift?" asked the father of the family, though the girl made no response, her mind still working on ways that didn't make her very happy. "Hey. You there?" He attempted once again, this time being much more successful at snapping her out of her thoughts, looking at him as if he had just teleported next to her on a small vehicle, carrying not only the father, but three of his children. She couldn't tell at first glance.
Sorry. No, thanks.
Don't be ridiculous.
What, you plan on walking all the way to the village?
The paternal hare argued, his arm resting on the door of the roofless vehicle.
Come on in, it's no trouble at all. We'll take you there.
The girl took a quick glance at the vehicle and simply shrugged her reservations away. The father smiled wide as she quickly hopped into the back seat right next to a younger boy, around 8 years old, as he smiled a very similar smile to the one the older hare had.
My name is Zen. He introduced himself with a toothy grin. What's yours? She smiled back at him.
Somehow, talking to others seemed like an experience she didn't have in quite some time.
Nice to meet you, Zen.
I'm Miller.
Chapter 1, Volume 1, Spoiler, click to show.
Chapter 2, Volume 1, edited by Etherdrone, Spoiler, click to hide.
Miller quickly took another look at her map. According to it, she was at the Lotus Forest, which is where Talia went missing a couple days ago. The forest was appropriately named, it seemed. Easily, she noticed a large quantity of the world-infamous lotus berries, which were known to cause paralysis and, if heavily ingested by someone, death. Why would anybody let their children come here? Miller pondered as she began to rush into the forest,
worried for Talia's well-being. The forest wasn't too dense, but she recognized the variety of dangerous shrubs and poisonous berries that ravaged the woods. Not only that, but there were small rocks throughout the ground which made walking around treacherous for Miller, since she had grown the habit of walking barefoot, slowing her down significantly as she walked with more care than the usual. The individual leaves shaking to the swirling wind gave an eerie ambience to this forest that would send a deep chill into anyone. This was definitely not a playground. Not for Miller, at least. Fortunately, she was used to this. Before meeting Sash Lilac and Carol T, Miller lived in the woods throughout most of her childhood. The case being such as that she wasn't always totally alone, she learned to survive amidst the wilderness she called home for many years. In a strange way she felt nostalgic entering such a familiar setting. As Miller's nostalgia danced in the deepest corners of her consciousness, her eyes noticed a glint through the sunlight that managed to make its way through the leaves of the forest, coming from a carelessly thrown object in the leaves and mud of the forest. Carefully approaching it, she noticed it to be a small necklace, its silver chain being connected with a small adorned crystal. Almost as if by complete instinct, Miller picked up the necklace and sniffed it, her nostrils absorbing the scent of the object in the most effective way she knew how. It didn't take long before she identified it. It definitely belonged to Talia. She's been this way, she thought sourly as she looked towards the north. Being a wild kid for most of her childhood, she understood what that meant. Her localization skills were sharp and accurate, as always. Talia. Called Miller. Talia. Can you hear me? Talia. But no one answered back. Miller called and searched the remainder of the day to no avail. No one answered back. As her progress into the woods bore absolutely no fruit, the sun began to set and nightfall was upon her. Realizing that she needed to rest for a while before searching further, she decided to settle down at a small, nearby clearing. After grabbing some firewood, a few rocks, and making a small campfire, she prepared herself for a lonely, quiet night in the woods, only accompanied by the apples she was about to eat for dinner. The wind continued to blow throughout the forest, and not only did it make the familiar sound of leaves shaking with the wind, but a faint eerie whistle began to follow, making it easy for her to keep a calm demeanor and fall asleep. Miller's eyes sprung open after her ears captured movement in the vicinity. The dark of the night fell heavy upon it. Her eyes were slowly adjusting to the blackness that engulfed her like a shroud, surrounding the faint glow of the dying campfire like the belly of a dying hungry monster. She rose herself from the ground slowly as her ears twitched to attention, listening to the mechanical sounds that ringed lonely like echoes in a cave. By complete reflex, Miller's right arm sparked with a jade glow, covering its entirety like a shield, hovering just a few centimeters away from making contact with her own self. Still walking very slowly through the forest, she got close enough to get a clear view of the hostile, and her eyes squinted slightly at the source of the noises. A lone, singular turret is patrolling its grounds like it's always done before. Letting go a relieved sigh, Miller relaxed her posture. As long as I'm not in range, it's not attacking anytime soon, she nodded to herself, nearly turning her back onto the machine before stopping on her own feet, throwing a glance backwards as the turret made a snapping sound, something it only did when it slotted a bullet into its chamber. She responded mercilessly and immediately. Without even thinking twice, Miller's left arm pointed forward and it sparked furiously with a kinetic blast of psychic energy upon her command, the attack she fired blasting through the turret's cannon and chassis like she fired a bullet of her own, punching the machine's hull inward like it melted upon the pressure of her attack, collapsing onto the ground in a pile of worthless scrap metal with a dull, dry sound. It didn't even have enough time to fire at her. Its splintered hull smoked as a few random sparks escaped the punctured metal, but that wasn't anything new. Miller, however, tilted her head in confusion as something that should have happened, didn't. That's weird. Isn't a mutant supposed to come out of these things? Just before she could make heads or tails of whatever was it that she was thinking, however, Miller's ears perked up yet again as a sharp, but still faint yell echoed through the forest in extreme juxtaposition. Help me. The voice echoed, someone. Help me. It didn't even take a second before Miller was sprinting through the forest on all fours, her front hands sinking into the grass and leaves before her back feet kicked the ground, pushing her forward with the same velocity she'd usually display when trying to, indeed, go fast.
"Call me again," Miller shouted, her eyes now managing to see in the dark much more effectively than when she was awoken.
"I'm coming, so call me again. I am over here." The voice beckoned, clearly satisfied that someone self-aware heard her.
"Please, quickly. I wanna go home."
Once again, the speed in which Miller reached her destination was something to behold. Still running in all fours, the hound reached a large clearing, much bigger one than the one she was sleeping in. Much to her surprise, there was a single, solitary tree in the center, with a small panda girl trapped inside a hanging cage serving as its ornament. She hardly knew where to start, but she figured she had to start somewhere. Miller stood up, her eyes locked on the girl as her mind tried to come up with questions to ask, one at a time instead of a thousand a second.
"How did you get in there?"
she asked. "Me and my friends got lost in the forest when playing," the panda girl started, her eyes tearing up in the process of her talking.
"But I got lost.
I didn't know where I was going, and I was hungry. I saw some food on the ground, but when I came here to pick it up, the trap got me. I think I hit my head. I woke up just a few minutes ago." Miller took in a deep breath as Talia's scent, just as the one she felt from the necklace, came to her. Smiling sweetly to herself, she stepped forward towards the hanging cage.
"Talia?
Don't worry, I'm here to save you. Stay calm for a while, okay?" And just as she said that, Miller's ears pricked up at the sounds that echoed through the woods. Turning herself back, her adjusted eyes captured in the darkness silhouettes of many, many turritus and dragonflies, who slowly, but surely, swarmed the clearing. The little Talia gasped and panicked inside her own cage, but Miller figured she was safe. After all, she was the one that had now erected the psychic shield around her arm yet again, making its jade glow ripple through the air like a signal flare, collapsing their attention onto her with resounding success. It didn't take long before the turretter's cannons opened fire on the hound, just as the dragonflies dive-bombed Miller from the other side, positively flanking her. With a quick movement from her legs, Miller positioned herself better, swinging her shield like a battering ram towards the shots of the turrets, making every single shot glue onto her shield like it was a magnet. Using her movement to her advantage, she used her momentum to swing her shield to her other side, getting her feet off the floor and slamming the psychic energy covered in turretter's fire onto the dragonflies, releasing her grip on the shield and making each and every single one of them explode in a cadence of metal that ripped the flyers to shreds, the pieces of the now defeated flanking enemies adorning the ground like a carpet of scrap. The snapping sounds of reloading turretters ringed through the woods as Miller's feet touched the ground once again. However, she was much faster than they were. Before they had enough time to fire a second salvo of bullets towards her, she swung her own arm forward like she was pushing someone, and a small barrage of jade energy erupted from her palms like a shotgun, ripping through their hulls and causing them to explode onto each other, their own bullets tearing inside their chambers prematurely thanks to Miller's attack. And just like that, it was over. "Some of them really aren't releasing mutants," Miller said to no one in particular.
"What's going on?"
"Th that." A small voice came from behind her, much for Miller's shock.
"Oh. That's right, Talia.
Wh who are you?" demanded Talia with a shocked voice.
"That was amazing. You didn't even break a sweat."
Miller scratched the back of her head as she hesitated for a second before reluctantly introducing herself.
"I'm Miller Bassett."
Talia's face lit up with excitement.
"No way.
Miller Bassett. Miller Bassett is actually coming to save me.
I'm sorry for being so rude.
I didn't know I was in front of a celebrity."
"See celebrity? Me?
I think you're mistaken.
Why are you so modest?
You and your friends are like my heroes.
You saved Avalis.
I wish I was as strong and cool as you all are." Talia's gushing over Miller's presence was cut short, however. Almost as if it was picking on her, Miller's ears captured another source of noise that was soon also heard by the little panda girl, who became morbidly silent. The sound that approached quickly was loud, mechanical and heavy, something that made the hound position herself for combat. And just like that, a mechanical spider emerged from the woods, its joints cracking and snapping the vines and pieces of wood that were entangled in it like twigs about the size of someone's torso. Miller's eyes opened wide like saucers at the mechanoid, definitely caught by surprise at what she was seeing. Something that looked like a spider beamer, but at least four times her size, with eight sharp-looking legs and carrying two turrets in its back. Its weight was apparent by how its legs dug onto the dirt with the force of its movement, and the panda girl screamed in terror. Miller snapped her tongue in irritation as that scream caught the giant spider's attention. With a swift movement from her arms, the hound figured she couldn't waste any time, and readied herself for combat yet again. The giant spider approached the cage as Miller focused on her own hands, a familiar square of energy forming in them about as quickly as it's always been done. Without missing a single beat, Miller raised her arms upwards and aimed carefully at the approaching spider, which rose one of its limbs towards the cage and the screaming, horrified panda inside, and with a single split second, the spider's leg was torn off by the psychic pulse that blasted it clean off with surgical precision. The blast was loud and powerful, something that caught everyone sans Miller completely by surprise. The spider, now noticing the hound's presence, shook itself in response to her attack and backpedaled slightly, the smoldering stump that was one of its legs now hanging uselessly to the hull, connected to the spider by a bunch of broken machinery thanks to the impact of Miller's attack. That didn't stop Talia from still screaming in terror, however, which seemed to make the spider stop its retreat, much for Miller's chagrin. She readied herself for another blast, but as soon as she started, her ears captured another sound that whizzed closely by, something sharp and violent, much like a gunshot. The sound distracted Miller enough for the spider to manage to swing one of its legs forward, striking the hound's shield with barbaric force, pushing her backwards and crashing against the tree, making it shake with enough urge to push the panda into hysteria once again. Miller grunted in between gritted teeth as she pulled herself back from the attack, but it was already too late. One of the spider's good legs launched what was very obviously chains at the cage, and with a solid snapping sound, it removed the cage from the tree and it locked it onto the hull, making the panda girl shriek and cry in absolute horror. Miller jumped off of her landing spot and tried to take another shot at the spider, but the presence of the panda girl made her hesitate and take too long. The spider had the chance to attack her again. This time, however, she was prepared for the hit. Her shield crashed against the swinging limb from the giant mechanoid, pushing her once again towards the tree, almost resuming the fight from where it was a few moments back. She grunted, irritated, and threw a quick, sharp look at the scene before her, something that seemed to suddenly come to a complete halt as she pieced together her thoughts. No, I can't attack, not like this. I might hit her. So, if I can't attack, I might as well try something else. Miller snapped her tongue once again as she used the tree as a jumping board. As soon as she landed on it yet again, she jumped forward, dismissing her shield and twirling once in the air, throwing a small but very precise jade bolt of energy towards the top of the spider's hull like a shuriken, making an ineffective clanking noise when it dug itself into the metal. Her jumping pose was awkward, however. As soon as she landed, her right foot made contact with a jagged piece of rock, one of many that adorned the clearing, digging itself deep into her foot and tearing her skin like many of nature's sharp knives. Gasping in surprise as her eyes widened yet again, she fell on her knees and hands as she skidded through the grass on her left shoulder, trying her hardest not to strike the ground with her head and succeeding. "Miller!" screamed the frightened Talia, trapped inside the cage as the spider quickly broke distance and fled from the hound, its disgustingly heavy seven legs tearing a path through the forest in its hastened retreat. "Talia!" Miller yelled back, forcing herself to spring back to stand. Her right foot only slightly touched the ground before she grunted in pain, her foot pulsing so hard she could feel it in her head. The slight moment of pain was enough for her to miss her opportunity, However, and before she could bring her eyes back up again, the spider was out of sight, hiding in the cover of the night, its sounds ringing back deeper and deeper into the woods. The hound took pause for a while before sighing to herself. "It's okay. This is far from being over," Miller confirmed with a deep breath, her link with the psychic energy she lodged onto the spider at the expense of her foot still holding strong. "Hopefully, Talia will be fine until I put some bandages around my foot. Ouch. Darn, Miller, this was bad of you." She prepared herself to sit down, the sharp pain in her foot pulsing on her head like a terrible migraine. Carefully walking so as to not rest her weight on top of her wounded foot, she stopped as soon as another gunshot cracked on the tree in the middle of the clearing, forcing Miller to stop. "So, destroying my bots like you're having a party. What's the big idea?" A clearly annoyed, yet still strangely enough monotonic voice came from the other end of the clearing, being carried from a boy, probably not much older than Miller herself was. Wearing some ill-cared-for jeans, boots and a black jacket, probably salvaged from a biker that grew too old to wear it, he held a pistol up front, pointing it directly at Miller, who looked at him with a mixture of surprise and hostility. "What did you just say? Your machines?" Miller responded, still limping from her wounded foot as the boy's expression could not be read. She, however, wasn't very happy. "So you're the one who has been attacking me? The one who kidnapped Talia?" "Kidnap who?" the boy asked, raising a confused eyebrow at Miller, whose posture was half defensive and half aggressive. "In case you didn't notice, not all those machines have mutants in them. If they attacked you, that was probably cues I programmed them specifically, protocol and patrol, right?" "Not my fault." Miller had a hard time looping her head around what she just heard. "So you programmed them, they attack people because of the programming, and the fault isn't yours? One of those robots kidnapped an innocent girl. Hey, who was it that entered a dangerous forest again?" the boy said with a bored tone, clearly showing no sympathy for the words innocent or kidnapped. "You wrecked my bots, I'm not responsible for whatever happened. W what? This mostly happened because of you. Show some responsibility." "No." The girl shook her head in exasperation. Without a whole lot else to say to him, she turned around and sat on one of the roots of the solitary tree, her foot bleeding from the wound. "Don't ignore me, you didn't answer my question," he said, still holding the gun forward. "My bots. It took time to program them, you know." "Please stop talking, this will kind of hurt," Miller retorted with little patience, her hand glowing a fierce jade as she held and squeezed her foot with force, making her wince and groan with the pain, her eyes tearing up a little from the pressure, the headache bombing through her skull like there was a needle inside it. Ugh. But it worked. As soon as she removed her hand from her foot, the bleeding had stopped completely. The wound was still there, but at least she wouldn't lose blood from it anymore. At least, as long as she was careful with it. The boy watched the scene with unblinking curiosity, the gun now pointing to the ground as he simply shrugged with curious indifference. "Bandages would have done the job just the same, you know. Why are you still here?" Miller asked, exasperated. "This was your fault. Your robots did this. You said you don't want to help, right?" "Yeah, I did," he said once again, always managing to jab at Miller's patience with every word he spoke. "My bots didn't kidnap anyone, so that's not my business. Why should I help you?" And with that, Miller's eyes finally caught a glimpse of something about him. Tightly wrapped around his arm, slightly above the elbow so as to not disrupt the movement of his forearm, was a red scarf. She opened a small smile of her own, her mind finally coming full circle. "He's a member of the Red Scarves. If you help me get Talia back," she said with a calm tone, still not managing to stand completely straight, "I'll split the reward with you." His attention was had. Opening a smile of his own, he crossed his arms and pondered the idea for a quick second. "How much for the reward?" 2,000. "Help me save her, and half is yours." The boy's mouth was swung ajar for a couple seconds before shaking himself out of the stupor. "You can't be serious." Miller's serious expression was unfazed by his reaction, and a pop of sweat rolled down his face, clearly hit by the realization that he was wrong. "You're serious." She didn't feel the need to respond. She already had him. After giving the matter a little pause, the boy nodded in agreement. "Fine. I'm in." Miller smiled, her foot now finally not hurting as bad as it was before. "All right," she claimed in triumph. "By the way, I'm Miller. Hey, we're not friends, okay? I'm only helping you for the cash." "No, really? And your name is?" The boy let go a massive sigh as he finally holstered his pistol. "I'm Kai. Also, I know who you are, Miller Bassett. Thanks for the unnecessary introduction." Showing, once again, surprise at realizing someone else knew who she was, she looking a bit stunned at Kai for a brief moment. "How did you know?" Letting go a smirk that seemed to successfully annoy Miller, Kai shrugged. "Besides the point that everyone under the Avalishing Sun might as well know who the saviors of our world are? I dunno, take a wild guess." Chapter 3, Volume 1, Spoiler, Click to Hide. Miller and Kai begin to follow the trail of wreckage left by the mechanical spider. Kai makes a loud whistle, impressed by the raw power of the mechanoid. "I'll give that maniac credit, he knew how to build some effective bots," said Kai in an impressed, but still monotonic voice. "Of course nothing is perfect, everything have weaknesses." Miller stood silent, trying to concentrate on Talia's scent and the energy signatures she tagged the spider with, still walking carefully so that she doesn't open the wound on her right foot. "Hey! Exactly how does that psychic energy of yours work?" Miller continued to walk, annoyed by Kai's rambling and banter. She knew he was trying to annoy her. Eventually she gives a response. "I can sense the energy signatures left behind from my attacks. I usually don't need to use my psychic tag, as a hound I can just follow others' scent." "You can't find those bots' scent though, at least not those kind of robots," said Kai, continuing for Miller. "By the way, what are you?" asked Miller, ignoring Kai's smart remark. "Never seen a husky, huh? A husky? I thought you were a wolf." Kai gave off an annoyed look towards Miller, as though she was an idiot. "You may be clever, but you're certainly not too bright." Miller loses her patience from the remark. "Well, shut up," she said, unable to come up with a counter-argument. The two continue to follow the path, then as dawn came after hours of walking they see the large spider guarded by several turritus, dragonflies, fireflies and cactolons. The spider seemed inactive. Still locked into its hull was the cage that is still holding a frightened Talia, wrapping her arms around her legs in a sitting position. Miller and Kai immediately dash over to the side for cover, hiding behind the cluster of bushes filled with titular lotus berries, planning on how they could attempt to save Talia. "Maybe we should try sneaking past the enemies and break Talia out of the cage," suggested Miller, as she ponders for a decent plan. "We could do that, but now it's too bright to sneak past them. Also we can't just attack one of them, it'll likely alert all of them including that spider," Kai said in response. "We need to do something, can't we just fight them? We're grossly outnumbered, granted we have the skills and power to take out dozens of those bots, the real problem is the robot spider. If it wakes up we'll be in trouble," explained Kai. "Even if we fight the spider alone, it can use its legs to perform heavy attacks, and if it's smart enough, it can position itself to aim those two turrets at me, so sniping it won't lead to much success. What if we take out the turrets first?" Kai ponders for a moment. "If you can get close enough without getting skewered, be my guess." Miller makes a large sigh, and responds in a confident voice, "Then let's try it." "Did you forget your foot?" said the skeptic husky. "I think it healed enough." Kai makes a small shrug with his shoulders. "Okay then, so we take out the smaller machines and get Talia out first. I'll distract the bots and take them out. Meanwhile you go ahead and get the girl out of there. I'm confident that spider is going to wake up the second I start destroying those robots." Miller gestures with a nod of her head, and begin to head towards Talia's location. Kai position himself about 100 meters in front of the crowd of robots, waiting for Miller to get close enough to Talia. He grabs the large sniper rifle that was strapped to his back and takes aim at the turreters first. Kai makes a small grin as he notices the Hound girl in position and opens fire. Miller hears the violent gunshot fired from Kai's rifle, and begins to dash in all fours directly towards the startled Talia, climbing up into the hull of the spider. "Talia," whispers Miller. "Miller," Talia said in tearful glee. "Don't worry, I'm going to get you out of here. I got some help." Sort of Miller expression changed as she talked to Talia, clearly annoyed. Both Miller and Talia looks in awe as they witness Kai's pinpoint accuracy, destroying every single robot in a matter of minutes with remarkable precision. Miller's hands begin to make a jade glow as she cut through the cage. The robotic arachnid begins to make slight movements, which caught both girls off guard. Miller begins to cut through cage faster than ever, as Talia begins to panic. Kai notices the spider rebooting, yelling at Miller, "Hurry up over there. I'm almost done." Miller yells back, trying to keep her cool. "Miller, hurry," argued Talia, "it's waking up." Just as the large mechanoid finished rebooting, Miller successfully breaks Talia out of the cage, both girls falling off of the spider's hull. Miller uses herself to break the girl's fall. "Ugh, I'm going to need a lot of bandages after this," she thought, holding the side of her torso from agonizing pain as Talia rolls off of her. "You're okay?" Talia asked after rolling off of Miller. I'm fine. Forget bandages. I think I'll need a herbal bath," Miller thought. Just as she got her bearings straight, she notices one of the spider's sharp legs lunging directly towards her. Miller quickly rolls out of the way. The force from the spider's attack was so strong that even Kai heard it from his position. Thankfully for both girls, the leg got stuck to the ground from its attack. "Talia, hide," Miller yells. Talia makes a short nod and hides behind the bushes. Miller aims a cube of energy at one of its legs and fires a powerful jade beam towards the hull of the spider, stunning it. Kai takes the opportunity and changes the rifle's ammo. He takes aim, and as the bullet makes contact with the spider, an explosion echoed throughout the forest, engulfing the spider in a raging ball of fire. "That should do the trick," announced Kai, before running towards Miller. Talia eyes widen in horror. "I don't think it's over yet," she says as the robot spider emerged from the wall of raging fire. Kai sucks his teeth in disappointment. "What does it take to destroy this thing?" The spider aims its two turrets at the three helpless figures before it. Miller prepares her shield in Kai's and Talia's defense. As the spider fires a barrage of bullets, Miller uses her shield to counterattack, bouncing the bullets back at the spider. But the spider was left unfazed. Kai aims his rifle again, still using his explosive bullets, aims directly at one of the spider's turrets. The left turret is destroyed, but its right turret opens fire. Miller attempts to generate a shield before its bullets can make contact, but was too slow. The spider hit both Kai and Miller with a barrage of bullets. Both canines slowly gets up and dodge the striking legs from the incensed robotic arachnid. The spider continued to strike with its leg while simultaneously using its remaining turret. "We need to slow this thing down," somehow Kai said, starting to get frustrated with the current situation. Kai ponders a moment, hiding behind a tree for cover, while Miller continues to defend Talia with her shield, trying not to make any sudden movements so that her wound wouldn't open. He notices a large gaping scratch at the hull, likely from the psychic blast Miller fired hours ago. "Hark, dear, no, her injury paid off." Kai begins to aim his rifle at the opening, but he needed a clear shot. "Hey, why don't you make yourself useful and try to keep that spider in one place?" yelled Kai. "Okay, but I'm trying not to die," Miller yelled back, sharing the same level of frustration as the husky standing by the trees. Miller successfully stuns the robot spider with a few quick but strong psychic blasts. She aims another square of energy, this time aiming for the other front leg. The leg is cut clean off. The spider loses its balance for a moment. With the spider distracted, Kai calls to Miller. "Stun it one more time." Miller performs the same quick psychic blasts to stun the spider. The second the spider is stunned for one last time, Kai opens fire. The bullet penetrates the armor of the spider through the scratch at its hull. The collision causes the spider to explode into a large field of scrap metal. A swarm of mutants appears before them, flying into the sky. Miller and Kai, after the fierce battle, takes a moment to relax, Talia still behind her bush sighing in relief.
"Are you okay?"
Talia asked both Miller and Kai. "More or less," Kai said in a monotonic voice, which annoyed both Miller and Talia.
"Let's get back to the village. I think I need a soothing herbal bath," Miller said exhausted.
Talia nods in agreement, holding onto her stomach. "I think I'll need a feast to fill my tummy up." Miller makes a small laugh. "Well, that makes two of us." Miller and Talia give Kai a sort of mischievous smile. Kai makes an uncomfortable expression. He makes a large sigh. "I guess I'm hungry too," he admits. Miller, Kai, and Talia starts to see the village off in the distance. Talia, with tears in her eye, begins to sprint towards the familiar setting, Miller making a large smile, however Kai keeps a neutral expression on his face.
"Daddy!" cried the little panda girl. "Daddy!"
Immediately Wei hears his daughter off in the distance. He exits the town hall and sees her sprinting directly towards him with Miller and some other person next to her, walking right behind his beloved daughter. Talia runs right into his father's arms and Wei gives Talia such a bear hug that anyone would think he's suffocating her.
"How can I ever repay you?"
said Wei, filled with relief and happiness for his daughter's well-being. "It was nothing," Miller said with an optimistic tone. Kai gives off an impatient expression, which seemed to have given Wei a bad impression. "As promised, I will give you the 2,000 crystals, and also help you with your travels," Wei said in a serious tone. Talia eyes lit up. "You promised her that much money?"
"Honey, what's wrong?" asked a confused Wei.
"You should give them 3,000 instead," demanded Talia. Kai makes a faint grin on his face. "I'm starting to like this girl," he said to no one in particular.
"They went through so much trouble, just to save me.
They almost died," continued Talia. Wei nodded in agreement. "Very well, 3,000 it'll be." Miller stood there flabbergasted. "Why, you don't need to give us more," but the mayor made up his mind, ignoring Miller's modesty.
"Anyways, I'm sure both of you are very hungry," said Wei, talking directly to both Miller and Kai.
After Miller and Kai had a large hearty breakfast, they collected their reward and Miller asks Wei the whereabouts of the person she was looking for.
"I'm supposed to deliver this to some kind of general, but I don't know who he is or where he is."
Wei examines the package, while Kai leans against the wall in intrigue with his sniper rifle next to him instead of strapped to his back. Wei recognizes the insignia on the package. "This symbol belongs to the Dongmen Dojo. I see you've visited such a tranquil and honorable place." Miller makes a nod and says, "They were the first people to offer hospitality when I first left Dragon Valley 2 years ago. You can say I owed them a favor." Wei makes a large smile. He replies, "The man you're looking is at Baifeng, which is Qian's second largest city next to the imperial capital Xiangyang. It's actually north of the Lotus Forest you just came from. Thankfully there's a road past the forest."
"Thank you so much. It was my pleasure."
As Miller walks out of the mayor's office with Kai following behind her, she notices Min at the front desk. "As always, I should help," she thought to herself.
"Hey Min," Miller greeting herself.
"Hi there Miller, did the mayor help you?"
Miller goes through her backpack and offers half of her money to Min.
"I hope this will help you get into that university at Shangmu."
Min stood there speechless at Miller's generosity. "Thank you, but I shouldn't accept this."
"No, it's fine."
Min reluctantly accepts Miller's offering.
"I hope to see you over there soon," Miller said with anticipation.
"Hope to see you too."
It was noon, and Miller was laying down on the calm plains of Qian, staring into the swirls of clouds once more.
"So, Baifeng it is?"
she hears a familiar monotonous voice.
"Why are you still following me?"
responded Miller. "You have your money, shouldn't you be working on your robots, going over to the Red Scarf's base over at Shangtu, or something?"
"So you did notice this Red Scarf, huh?
That's why you offer half of the reward. You knew I couldn't resist good cash."
Miller made a small smile. "I'm taking that as a compliment."
"Well, lucky for you, I think I'll stick around, even though I have the feeling that you're going to get me killed." He makes a large sigh. "At least I know you're not a total idiot." Miller gets up Bifeng at as she said, ignoring the husky's half-insult. Kai follows her into the infinite plains as they make their way to their destination. Chapter 4, Volume 1, Spoiler, Click to Hide. Large clouds covers the sky like a blanket, with several rays of sunlight escaping through the openings while Miller and Kai is walking down the road to Bifeng, past the forest. It have been a few days since they left Xicheng, and the only thing they had to eat was the apples Miller bought at the village. "I'm hungry," complained Miller. "Hey, how far are we to Bifeng?" Kai gives off a sigh. "According to this map, we have at least two more days before we get there. I don't think I can wait another 2 days." According to this, Bifeng is known for its several mining facilities and mineral springs. Miller imagines herself in one of those mineral springs, eating actual food. She holds on to her stomach while under her fantasy, "I still feel these bruises from that stupid robot spider." "You're not the only one." Miller punches Kai on the right arm. The husky mildly feels the strike. "You're not the one who had to be a few feet next to that thing, while you were over there hiding by the trees," Miller explains in an irritated voice. "I'm the one with the gun. It's not my fault that I needed a good shot. Also, you didn't have to be so close to the robot." Miller tries to keep her patience. "It's okay, Miller, he's only trying to annoy you," she thought, making a deep breath and grabbing an apple from her backpack. She looks into the backpack and sees a lack of food that was the last apple. She says grimly, "What do you mean that was the last apple?" Kai said in an exasperated voice, "How many did you buy?"
"I bought like 10 or 15.
"How many have we eaten daily?" Kai recalling the past few days. "Does that even matter? We're out of food." Miller yelling at the husky out of frustration.
"I blame you for this," Kai responds in a calm, monotonic voice, glaring directly at Miller.
"How is this my fault?" "You eat too much. You hadn't considered our rations nor how long it'll take to reach our destination." Miller's face turns red like a tomato, having mixed feelings of embarrassment and anger. Again she makes a large deep breath as she tries to think of a solution.
"Then we'll have to hunt and gather," Miller responds.
"You're kidding, right? You're the one with the gun, why can't you just hunt some food for us? You're the hound, why don't you track our food for us?" Both Miller and Kai give each other a deep stare, trying to see which one will go look for food while the other prepares shelter. Kai walks through the forest holding his sniper rifle in his hands, looking for some kind of fowl to appear so him and Miller can eat something for dinner.
"I can't believe I was convinced to do this," he thinks to himself, giving off a bored expression on his face.
Dusk was drawing near, and Kai was yet to find any food for the night. The wind begins to blow and the shaking of leaves begin to make him uneasy.
"Hey, I'm okay with hunting for food, but wouldn't it be embarrassing for a girl to hunt for you?"
Kai begins to make a growl. "How could I have been so weak-minded?" Apparently she learned some smooth-talking skills from her friends. "She's clever but she's still foolish," he said to himself. "I'll get back at her for this." A flock of birds flies out of the tree line. The husky, making an annoyed face, takes aim at the flock of birds and opens fire. Miller is sitting by the campfire she made as Kai appears with some fowl at hand with their feathers already plucked out. She makes a disgusted look to her face. However, her hunger was so strong that she immediately takes at least two of the birds and put them over the campfire. Miller tries her best to be patient, but her saliva was overflowing behind her mouth like a waterfall as the fowl becomes a nice, crispy, golden brown.
"You're all right.
When exactly was the last time you had any meat?" asks Kai as he witnesses Miller's anticipation for dinner.
"A few months," Miller responds while licking her lips.
Kai keeps his face neutral. When the food finally finished cooking, both canines carefully grab their food from the campfire, trying to avoid getting burned. Miller makes a large smile as she eats her food. Kai simply observes the hound's savage behavior. "You're going to choke if you too fast," he says in his iconic monotonic voice.
"Sorry, I just haven't had meat in so long.
I guess we should get some shut-eye soon."
"Okay, let's hope we reach the city by tomorrow. You and me alike."
Miller and Kai wakes up after dawn, Miller stretching with just her tank top and pants on, while Kai starts to put on his jacket and strap his sniper rifle and dual pistols. Miller puts her shirt on over her tank top and puts on her gloves and anklet.
both the husky and hound begins to walk down the road. They notice a sudden incline and off in the distance after 8 more hours of walking they see a small plateau at the side of a mountain. On top of the plateau was a medium-sized city. "I think we're finally here," Kai said in anticipation. Miller responds, "So this is Bifeng, how do we even get into the city?" Both Kai and Miller look around for an entrance and notices a lone wolf miner. "Hey, you," Kai calling out to the wolf.
"Yeah?"
the wolf said in response. "How do we get up into that city?" The wolf makes a small grin. "You're new here, aren't you? You need to take a lift to Bifeng." "Thank you," Miller said. Kai makes a small nod, and both Miller and Kai, along with the wolf, head over to the lift. After exiting the lift to the city, they notice a large amount of miners, soldiers, and hunters. Most of the stores sold mining equipment and weaponry at the center of town was a large bank. In contrast to a town hall, the city was walled off with concrete, several large watchtowers that made the smaller wooden watchtowers at Xicheng seem ineffective by comparison, and stationed on those watchtowers were several snipers either using rifles, composite bows, or heavy crossbows. "So this is the Qian Empire's northernmost city," Bifeng Kai said, quite impressed with the city's fortification. "Why is there so many soldiers here?" Miller asks. The wolf that came up the lift with them overhears. Bifeng was originally a fort when Qian and Shuigain was at war with each other. After Qian's defeat, however, it became the city of Bifeng for its large quantities of rare minerals and metals. "I didn't know Shuigain was at war with Qian." Kai joins the conversation. "To be fair, Qian don't exactly have the best relationship with the three origin kingdoms, especially Shuigain. I can imagine that Qian's political officials are right now taking full advantage of the whole incident 2 years ago, especially with the situation behind Prince Dale."
"Hey, it wasn't Dale's fault,"
Miller scolded in Kai in the prince's defense.
"How would you know?"
I just do," Miller said in response, giving a depressed face. "I just do," she thinks to herself. Kai changes the subject. "We're looking for some general, know where he is?" The wolf makes a serious face. "So you're looking for General Gloss," the wolf explained. "Lucky for you, I know where he is, the name's Fang."
"Well, isn't that convenient for us, right, Miller, Miller?"
Miller is still lost in her thoughts. "I hope Dale is all right."
"Hello?"
Avalis to Miller Bassett. Kai snapping his fingers in front of Miller's face.
"Huh, oh sorry," Miller responds after being snapped out of her thoughts. "Okay, let's go."
Miller and Kai follows Fang to the outskirts of town, past the northern gate and down a mountain pass. After a half an hour of following the wolf, they see a house over by a cliff. When they reached the house, it was locked. To Fang's surprise, "Why is it locked?"
"I guess he went out to the city. I'm very sorry for the inconvenience."
"I was wondering what way you were, Fang, and I see you brought some guests," the three canines noticing a calm and proud voice. Miller turns her head, and to her surprise she sees a dragon. The man was at least 24, he had a militaristic uniform with dual swords on his back, his hair was medium in size with a ponytail and facial hair, with claws sharp and strong enough to climb the most treacherous of mountains, his right horn was cut clean off.
"My name is General Jin Glost, what may I do for you?"
Chapter 5, Volume 1, Spoiler, Click to Hide. The three canines wait in the general's living room, waiting for Jin to make his appearance. After about 20 minutes of waiting, the general comes in holding a tray with 4 small cups of tea. He sits down on a chair and places down the tray on what appears to be a coffee table.
"It's an honor and surprise to meet you, Miller Bassett," Jin said in a calm voice.
"Well, I would like to say surprise, but I was expecting you."
"You were expecting me?" Miller said, confused.
"Of course, the master of the Dongmen Dojo, Jai Jilu, informed me of your arrival," Jin explains. "Though I am surprised to see someone of the red scarves," Jin looked towards Kai's direction, greeted with a smirk on the husky's face.
"Is that a problem?"
Kai said in response.
"Not at all, although the red scarves is a group of mercenaries, trained in thievery and assassination, they still have a sense of discipline and occasionally, honor.
I would hope that you are one of those few scarves members," the general observes the nonchalant husky leaning back on his chair, arms behind his head and right leg on top of his left leg,
realizing the scarf inappropriately positioned on his left arm. "But you're not a member," Jin said after scanning the husky boy, leaving the husky with a serious face and Miller and Fang confused. "Kai gives out a sigh. I'm an affiliate," he finally said after a few minutes of silence. "I help design bots for the red scarves for both security and training. There, happy?" Jin makes a small grin. "So that's why you messed around with those machines back at the Lotus Forest," Miller said in an enlightened tone, only to become furious. "Why would you test robots like that in forest anyways? Look at what they caused. Why couldn't you do that in some kind of testing area or something? I'm covered in bruises because of you, not to mention Talia's kidnapping." "I'm going to say this one last time," Kai responds in a monotonic and exasperated voice, "that wasn't my fault. Besides, that was almost a week ago. Get over it." Both canines begin to growl at each other. Jin gives off a loud deliberate cough. "Anyways, Miller, you have something to deliver to me, right?" Jin says, trying to keep the peace. Miller responds, "Oh, that's right." Miller grabs something wrapped up in cloth, with the Dongmen Dojo insignia. Jin grabs the item and begins to unwrap it. After unwrapping the cloth, a small, glint katana with a jade green handle appears before Miller and Kai. "That's the item Miller was supposed to deliver to you," Kai said in disappointment. "This is crafted and reinforced by Feng steel, sent to Dongmen to one of the best blacksmiths in Qian." Jin explained, "This is possibly one of the strongest blades you'll ever see in Avalis." Kai gives a skeptical face. "One of the strongest, huh?" Jin turns towards Miller. "I have a question for you, Miller." Miller responds, "Yeah." "How long were you at the Dongmen Dojo?" Miller recalls when she first entered Qian territory, Dongmen was the only way to get in and out of the Qian Empire, 6 or 7 months. "Have they tried teaching you swordplay?" Jin said, giving off a grin which made all three canines confused and suspicious. "Yeah, but I only know the basics. I'm not very good," Miller said modestly, scratching the back of her head. "Kai, you seem like someone who knows your materials. Do you recognize the material used to make the handle of the sword?" Kai examines the katana, and was perplexed by the material. I don't recognize it. What is this?" After pondering for a moment, Kai asks Miller for one of her gloves, observing the arrow-like symbol on the glove. "This is the same material from Miller's gloves and anklets." "Correct," confirmed the Draconic General. "A small sample of this material was found not so long after Briven's arrival to Avalis. When the miners found it, they were very confused but intrigued about what it could be. After days of observing the material, we decided to send it over to the eastern city of Dongmen for further observation. When Miller came to stay at the dojo, you can imagine Jai's surprise when he discovered the striking similarities of her bracelets and anklets to the material." "So the sword was never meant for you, wasn't it?" Kai said in response, giving off a neutral face. "It was made specifically for Miller. I suppose Jai felt as though she could improve her skills through swordplay." Miller holds the sword and sees her reflection through the blade. "I don't think I could accept this. I only know the basics. I don't deserve this kind of gift." "Don't be so modest. I'll make you a sheath and start training you tomorrow. There's an inn not so far from here. Tell the innkeeper that General Glost sent you and she'll gladly let you stay for free." "Thank you," Miller said, bowing in respect. After she got up, she asks the general a question. "Are you a dragon?"
"Indeed, I am a dragon," Jin responds.
"You're not the first one to ask that question. I'll see you tomorrow then." Miller and Kai reaches the inn the general informed them about. The inn was about 2 stories tall, and similar to Jin's house, it lied on the side of a cliff, overlooking the city of Bifeng. When both the hound and husky enters the inn, they see a middle-aged rodent-like woman brooming the lobby floor. The woman notices the 2 pre-teenage children standing by the front door. "Welcome, how may I help you?" Kai stays silent. Miller greets the woman. "Hello, General Gloss sent us here."
"Ah, the good general sent you. Well then, allow my son to take you to your room." A 18-year-old rat boy lead them to their room. The room had 2 full-size beds with 1 night table with a blue candle and a dresser across from the 2 beds with a television on top of it.
"This is a nice room," Miller said cheerfully. Kai, disappointed, said in response, "I would have preferred to be in a separate room from you,
but I guess I should be grateful that the woman let us stay free of charge. Kai continues, well, I'm going to go get some supplies, and some new gear. Why not get some new clothes too then? Miller said with a neutral face.
What do you mean I need new clothes? Have you seen yourself? You look ragged under those oil stains. When was the last time you washed your clothes?
Fine, I'll get new clothes, only to shut you up. Miller unpacks her stuff as Kai leaves and continue to glare at the katana Jin gave her. She examines the sword and confirmed that the handle was made with the same material as her anklets. A 20-year-old girl appears before Miller. The hound assumes she's one of the innkeeper's children. I forgot to thank your mother for letting us stay for free. The girl makes a faint smile and responds, it's our pleasure, you're friends with General Glost, so it's only natural we provide hospitality. Also, your towels are ready.
Towels, for what?
For the hot springs, of course. Your friend told me that you're all bruised up, and that you'll need a relaxing time at the hot springs.
Really, that doesn't sound like Kai to me. Miller makes a grin. Oh well, whatever he has planned, I'll just take advantage of this little favor of his.
Miller, wearing only the towel the girl prepared for her, enters the hot spring with several therapeutic candle and health petal water flowing down into the spring. She gets into the spring, I needed this so much. Kai enters the gun shop. With a large assortment of firearms and crossbows, Kai takes a look at the available ammo. He sees regular, reinforced, and explosive physical bullets as well as special energy bullets for his sniper rifle. There were several different types of rifles, shotguns, machine guns and pistols. Kai replaces his dual pistols and their holsters for more accurate shots, a new scope for his sniper rifle, and restocks on ammo including some energy bullets. He then heads over to the clothing store to buy a more clean and modern black jacket with two straps to keep it closed, a familiar pair of black jeans and boots as well as a white t-shirt. The jacket was the only real difference with his wardrobe. Finally, the husky heads over to the blacksmith and bought a small hunter's knife. I guess one melee weapon can do me some good. I still rather still blow the heads off of my enemies though. Kai begins to walk back to the inn after gathering supplies and gear. As he enters the room and notices Miller sitting on her bed in a bathrobe watching some kind of movie, I see you enjoyed the hot springs, though you do realize you owe me twice now. You're the one who told the girl to take me to the springs, though I guess I owe you now.
Now?
You owed me for making me hunt.
How is that a bad thing?
What are you watching anyways?
Some horror flick, what can I say? I like a good surprise.
Kai unstraps his rifle and new holsters with his new pistols. Taking off his jacket, he gets on his bed and decides to watch the movie with Miller, who seemed to be invested on the film. After watching a few movies, both canines goes into a deep slumber.
Addition information.
Length, 5 volumes, each with 12 to 16 chapters, 60 to 80 chapters. Current length, includes development chapters, volumes 1, chapters 6, pages 39, words 57,045, spaces not included. POV, third person omniscient. Rating, T. Requests. I'm also looking for someone to make some art of the four main characters. Opinions? Read more, fp.boards.net web link.